Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 199 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, we are talking about New Year's resolutions. We're a week into the new year now. Maybe you, like many other people, are feeling like, oh goodness gracious, what is my problem? I did not even stick with it for an entire week, just a week. So we're going to talk today about what to do when you're struggling with your New Year's resolutions. What can you do to tweak your approach to those goals, tweak the goals themselves, so that you're able to successfully complete them? That's what we're going to talk about. So if you're feeling a little bit low about how your New Year's goals are going, this episode is for you. I'm going to be sharing about one of my goals that I set that I had some stumbles with last week and what I did about it. Let's get into the episode. Hello there. Now that the new year is a full week behind us, how are you feeling about those goals you set on New Year's Day? Personally, I've been crushing two of my three goals, and my third goal hasn't gone as smoothly. In fact, many of you listening when I share with you what happened would call it a failure. And I'm going to explain why, one, it's not really a failure, and two, how we can use our less than perfect performance to propel us forward to success. Throughout our chat today, I'm going to discuss three ways you can tweak the goals you've set that you're struggling with to help you be successful. So it's not necessarily a matter of like, ugh, I need to scrap these goals. I didn't choose the right ones. But we can talk about some ways you can tweak the goals you've set, your approach to the goals you've set, so that you can be successful. Now, the first topic we must discuss is how many goals you're setting. I was talking with a friend the other day and just casually asked, like, you know, just conversation at the new year. So did you set any New Year's resolutions? Well, let me tell you, boy, did she ever. Now, her goals are fascinating and exciting and brave. Another friend who was with us left to go to the bathroom as the first friend was kind of explaining some of her goals. This friend left, went to the bathroom, came back a little bit later and was like, wait, are you still sharing your goals or has someone else started? And in my mind, I was like, nope. This is still the same person sharing this very long list. There were upwards of 10. I think there was like 11 or 12. Now, she had them broken down into various categories of types of goals, kind of the idea that we think we have different domains in our life. But the incredibly important piece of truth she is missing here, and by the way, I want to make it clear, I don't go around giving unsolicited advice to people. So I did not say any of what I'm about to say to you, to her. Like, I just keep that stuff to myself unless somebody asks. So here's the important nugget she was missing. We do not actually have different buckets to pull from when it comes to setting goals. When we set fitness goals, relationship goals, professional goals, spiritual goals, personal development goals, financial goals, all of those at the same time, it might seem that each of these goals can exist totally separately from the others. Like, it seems we could artificially install boundaries around each one. However, they pull from the same resources, the resources of time, energy, money, attention. We don't get a fresh amount of each of those for each of our separate goals, even if they feel like they're in wildly different domains. Those domains are actually created by us. They're not real. As you may know, I've been doing a lot of running the last 5 months, or maybe you don't know, maybe you're a newer listener. I ran a few 5Ks and I have a few more planned for this winter. And I want you to imagine a scenario where I signed up to run 10 5Ks all on the same morning. Now, obviously this is fictional, but imagine I did this. I sign up, I'm going to run 10 5Ks all at the same time. Maybe I'll run a quarter of a mile of each. I go to the first race, I start at the start line, I run a quarter of a mile. I go to the next race, I start at the starting line, I run a quarter of a mile, and on and on and on for 10 races. I'm still expending a ton of time and energy to make this happen, right? Quarter mile each of these. But at the end of it all, I will have not crossed a single finish line, and in fact, would have run 2.5 miles total. So I wouldn't have even completed a full 5K. Now, if you're thinking, well, that's just dumb, Kim. That's silly. No one would do that. True. They would not do that with running. But do you do that with your goals? Do you spread yourself so thin that you don't ever fully complete one goal And then even overall as a whole, you make very little measurable progress on any of them. Now imagine you cut back the total number of goals and laser focus on just a few, how much further ahead you could be. And then over the course of years, you could devote focus to all of them, that direct focus in turn. Now, this isn't to say you can have just one goal or that you should just have one goal. I don't have just one. I picked three this year. I personally think that any more than four gets to be too much. The point here is be choosy in how many goals you set. If you have set quite a few goals, this would be a good time to pare those back and push some of those goals to later in this year. Now, bonus suggestion, as you're choosing which goals to stick with, look for ones that support each other, ones that have a crossover effect. The idea that you'll be making progress towards goal A, and while you do that, doing goal A actually supports goal B. For example, if you set a goal to have morning sunlight in your eyes first thing in the morning, and you set a goal to walk 9,000 steps daily, getting out for a walk first thing in the morning is going to help with both. It's going to help you get that morning sunlight. It's going to help add towards your step count, getting those 9,000 steps. You see what I'm saying? Same thing if you set a goal to run a 5K this spring and another to strength train a minimum of 3 times per week. Doing the consistent strength training supports your 5K goal by helping you keep injury free. So choosing these goals that have a crossover effect can really help you to complete all of them. Now, I'm not saying that every single one of your goals has to be interconnected, but it's nice if you have a couple that are. If you're going to pick three, maybe having two that support one another is a good idea. Now, the next tweak you can make to your goals or your approach to your goals, if you're struggling, is to expect imperfection. You are messing yourself up when you think that success equals no mistakes or missteps or bobbles. Mistakes should literally be included in your plan. I want you to set out anticipating hiccups, expecting to need to navigate hurdles. The trick is to harness those moments for your benefit. So if you equate success with an unbroken series of days where you complete your goal exactly as set out, that is actually problematic. Expect to have hurdles, expect to stumble, and expect to navigate those, and do so in a way that's going to take those moments that you might have before labeled as failures and turn them for your success. Now, how do you do that? You're going to reflect on what happened and see what can I learn from this to help me moving forward. So you ask yourself, okay, what actually happened here? So you have a day, you didn't complete your goal as stated. Okay, what happened? And I want you to look for data here, not emotion. What specifically got in the way of you completing your goal as planned? Can you see any pattern in what is preventing your success? So when you look over time, over a week or several weeks, when you see times where you're not completing your goal, do you notice any type of pattern? What's a common thread if there is one? Can you identify the friction between you and completing the goal? If so, what action can you take to reduce that friction? What changes can you make to your day or to your plan in order to be successful? And so you do this debrief with yourself and you see, what can I learn from this moment where I didn't actually complete my goal on this particular day? Let me share with you the hiccup I had with one of my goals to demonstrate here. One of my goals in 2024 is to increase my shoulder mobility. I've had limited shoulder mobility for a really long time, partly due to poor posture that I've had ever since I was the first time I can remember thinking like, wow, I have really bad posture. It's so strange. I have very spotty memories, but I have a particular memory of being in my history class in high school and thinking like, wow, I have really bad posture. So high school, bad posture my entire life, or at least since my teenage years. And then a shoulder injury that I had in 2012, that was a long time ago, it still is a bugger sometimes. Like it still acts up. And that has definitely inhibited my shoulder mobility. I've been through many rounds of PT. I always get out of pain. I always improve. I get back to, you know, doing the activities that I would like to in my life. But I have yet to focus on increasing my range of motion when my shoulder is healthy to really get my baseline improved. I'm always working on it when I'm in some kind of pain. And then I get back to my baseline, which frankly is pretty terrible. Now, it's so bad that I get stuck taking dresses off sometimes. Like I can't get my arms to move the correct way. I can't zip up the back zippers on like a dress or a blouse. And looking forward to my later years in life, my 70s and 80s, if I need help with this stuff now, what would I be like then? And that bothers me. And so I want to be able to be more independent then. And so I want to work on this shoulder mobility issue now. And so that's why I set this goal. So I took some pictures of my shoulder mobility from different angles so I could see my starting point. I set my goal of 3 to 5 minutes daily of shoulder mobility exercises. I wrote myself a little list of possible shoulder mobility exercises that I'm going to rotate through and see which one seems to be having the most impact. And then I took this 3 to 5 minutes of daily shoulder mobility and I habit stacked it to kick that habit off. I decided that after clearing my spot at the dinner table each night, I would do my 3 to 5 minutes of shoulder mobility practice. Lucky me, I cook the dinner so I don't have to clean up. So I was like, okay, I'll take my plate, I'll put it over in the dishwasher, or if the dishwasher is still being unloaded, I'll put it by the sink, and then I'll go and do my shoulder mobility. Now, fast forward to last week, after I set this goal, I only did it twice last week. Twice. I did it New Year's Day and then the next day. Because our after dinner routine is so varied. We got into an important discussion one day. We went out to eat two of the days. We ate at my son's house during halftime of the Eagles game the other day. And then the one other time, I can't even recall what happened. So what I realized yesterday morning when I was evaluating my week is that the place I decided my practice would be each day, right, was going to be right after dinner. It is just not conducive to consistency. There's too much variability in my plans there. So rather than try and fit a square peg into a round hole, I'm just going to find another place in my day to habit stack. I'm going to go with right after breakfast. I didn't choose that originally because I always have a lot to get to, but with a bottom end goal of 3 minutes, I figure I can make that happen. So I want you to notice how, as I was assessing what the friction was about completing this goal, I did so without being a jerk to myself. I wasn't saying mean stuff to myself. I wasn't calling myself unorganized or lazy. I was looking at data, at facts, at routines. I was seeing what actually happened. What was the issue? I was seeing what could be tweaked. And notice I also didn't just throw my goal out because I got 29% consistency the first week, which brings me to my next possible tweak for the goals that you're struggling with. When you set your goal, give yourself a period of time in which you will stay committed to that goal before reevaluating whether you're going to continue on with it. Don't make this time period too short, and also don't make it too long. Like, don't just give yourself a day or two, and also don't make it many, many months. Now, if you're like, well, how do I know how long to pick? There's not one right amount of time. It's really going to depend on your ability in this moment to be self-accountable. If that's something you're like, wow, I actually really struggle with that, go on the shorter days, like pick a week. If you are more practiced in your self-accountability, you can set a longer period in which you will stick with your stated goal before reevaluating, like, am I going to stick with this goal? Not doing what I just mentioned as far as like, how is this going? Is there something I need to tweak about my actual process? Not that. You can be doing that on a daily basis as you're evaluating, how did this go today? When I'm talking about like, am I going to stick with this goal? Give yourself an end date time by which you will say to yourself, self, I have committed to this goal. I'm going to keep tweaking things to see what I can do to be successful with it. So like I said, you can go a week, you could go a month, you could go even a little bit longer. It's going to depend on how you're feeling about being accountable to that goal. And for that period of time, commit to yourself that you will not quit on this goal or swap that goal for something else. Press forward through that time of suck, that boring stretch of daily work when it's hard, but you're neither still feeling jazzed by the fresh new goal, nor are you seeing much in the way of a payoff yet. I'm giving myself 3 months with each of my three goals. I know that's definitely on the longer side, but this is something that I'm very practiced in doing, setting these types of goals and following them through. Now, during this time, of 3 months for each of these goals, I will likely continue to tweak the specifics of how I'm pursuing those goals, but the goal itself won't change. I've committed. These are my three goals. I'm sticking with them through the end of March. So for another example of my New Year goals is to continue to build a solid cardio base by running 3 times per week for 30 to 60 minutes and signing up for running 2 5Ks by the end of March. That's all one goal. I really want to increase my cardio base. I want to have a specific programming of 3 times per week, and I want to do a couple of 5Ks to kind of keep it fun and interesting. I've chosen Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for my run days, and I will not be changing my goal unless I get an injury of some kind. Now, maybe I'll change those specific days, but I will be running 3 times a week through March. I will be running 2 5Ks. The only way I will change that is if I get an injury of some kind. I'm keeping a close eye on my plantar fasciitis. I will adjust as needed if that flares up. I will do that by reducing time on my feet. I'll sub out running for our exercise bike. Now, it's possible for some reason those days won't work, like I said, and I might shuffle those around, but I won't adjust the amount of the or the frequency of the cardio I'm doing until the end of March, which is when I set my meeting with myself for evaluating my first quarter goals. And so maybe when I get to the end of March, I'll be like, this was great, and I actually think I still need to do this, and I'll continue on with the same goals for the next quarter. Or maybe I'll switch to something else. But between now and March, I will be running 3 times a week for 30 to 60 minutes, and I will be running 2 5Ks. So give yourself an end date by which you will commit yourself during that period of time to stick with your goal. This really helps so you don't have this constant sense of like, I'm kind of bored with this. Let me pick something else. Maybe this thing, because really you could bounce from thing to thing to thing and never complete any of them. If you're waiting for that, if you're really continuing to search for that, ooh, this feels fresh and exciting. The only way to make it still seem fresh and exciting is to keep picking a new goal. And then you don't get very far. Now, the last tidbit I want to share to help you be more successful with your goals is to evaluate how you have structured your goals. Specifically, I want you to evaluate whether you have set approach goals or avoidance goals. An approach goal is something you are moving towards. It's a behavior you want to do. An avoidance goal is something you're moving away from, a behavior you don't want to do. And what research shows us is that approach goals are more successful. Your brain needs something to focus on, something to move towards. Tell your brain what you want it to do, not what you don't want it to do. Think about interactions you've had with small children. Maybe you're a parent or you've babysat small kids, you're an aunt. Think about your interactions with small children. It is way less effective to just tell a kiddo, hey, don't keep interrupting me. And way more effective to tell her, while I'm on the phone, you can play with this Play-Doh or you can string these beads. Your brain is like that child. Tell it what to do, not what not to do. Have you had this experience with a kid when you're just like, yeah, don't interrupt me. I'm on the phone. Don't interrupt me. It's not nearly as successful when you say, you want to do this or you want to do this while I'm on the phone. You can do either of those two things. You're way more likely to have them actually follow through with that and not interrupt you by telling her what she can do. And your brain is just like that child. Tell it what to do, not what not to do. I want to give you some concrete examples so you can really, really picture this. So instead of phrasing your goal, I will not take licks, bites, and taste throughout the day, you could state it as, I will eat all food seated and plated. Do you notice how that's the exact same goal? If you're not taking licks, bites, and taste throughout the day, how would you be eating it? Well, you would not be nibbling in the cupboard, right? So you could be seated with your food on a plate. Same goal, but you're telling yourself what you will do, not what you won't do. Just phrased differently, and now your brain knows what to do. Let's give another one. Instead of saying, I won't scroll on my phone late at night, you could phrase that same goal as, I will put my phone on the dresser to charge starting at 9 p.m. Again, do you see how that gives you the same end goal? I won't scroll on my phone late at night. We put that phrased another way. I will put my phone on the dresser to charge starting at 9 p.m. Same task, but you have something to focus on, not something to not focus on. I'm going to do another. This time I'm going to pause so you can practice. So I'll state the goal as an avoidance goal, and then I'm going to pause and you're going to restate it as an approach goal, as something you will do. Okay. So here's my example. I won't eat out so much on weekends. Okay. Instead of stating your goal as I won't eat out so much on weekends, how else could you state that goal? That's going to tell your brain what you will do to achieve that same goal of not eating out so much on weekends. Give that thought for a second. Do, 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 do. All right, do you have something? If not, pause this and think for a second so you can come up with something on your own. I won't eat out so much on the weekends. How about you say, I will cook all meals but one at home Friday night through Sunday night. You see how that's the same thing? I will cook all meals at home except for one between Friday night and Sunday night. Same thing as saying, I won't eat out so much on the weekends. All right, ready to practice again? We're gonna do this one more time. I'm gonna tell you an avoidance goal. You're gonna rework it to tell yourself what you will do to achieve the same outcome. All right, so here's the goal stated as an avoidance goal. I won't snack at night. So that's telling you what you won't do. I want you to rework that to tell yourself what you will do. So instead of I won't snack at night, how else could you phrase that? Do you have something in mind? If not, pause this now, think about that, and come back and listen to the suggestion that I came up with. And by the way, there's not just one right answer here. There's multiple ways you could phrase this. I'm just giving you one that I thought of. All right, so here's the one I thought of. Instead of I won't snack at night, you could phrase the same goal as I will have my last meal or snack finished by 7:30 p.m. on nights when I'm at home. See how that's the same? All right, so let's go back and go over all four tweaks that we've discussed here today one more time so you have them in one neat, tidy place. Tweak number one, be choosy with the number of goals you set, somewhere between one and a maximum of four. Tweak number two, expect imperfection. Plan for the need to navigate hurdles. Tweak number three, set a period of time in which you will stick to your goal without changing it substantially. You can change specifics of the how as needed to navigate the hurdles, but you don't change the aim of the goal for a set period of time. Like I said, it can be a short period of time, 7 days, could even go a little bit shorter, 6 days, or it could be up to a longer time. You could do a month, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks. And then the last one is to set your goals as approach goals, not avoidance goals. All right, there you have it, my friend. I want you to know you have plenty of time to be successful. You are not behind. If you're telling yourself already like, oh my gosh, everyone is working towards their goals, you're not behind. You have so much time. You have unlimited time. I want you to get on these tweaks. Hit me up in DMs on Instagram to let me know how you're doing with your goals. If you want to work with me personally on your fitness goals in 2024, the best way to do that is joining Fitter After 40. Doors are going to be opening in the spring, which I promise you, it's going to be here before you know it. I know if you're like, spring, that feels really far away. It's going to be here before you know it. You can get on the wait list for Fitter After 40 at the link I'm going to put in the show notes. You can also find that link easily on my kimschlagfitness.com webpage. It's right there. It says Fitter After 40. You can pop your name on that list. When you do, you actually get a series of trainings that can help you get started getting Fitter After 40 right now. Series of email trainings. And your name is then on the list to join me in the spring when I open the doors. All right, friend, thanks for being here with me today. I will catch you next week. Next week is going to be my 200th podcast episode. I will see you then. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational.
If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.